The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Barrington Awaken with your host Barrington right here on Reality Radio 101. Join our path to enlightenment with our guidance to living at your best with a path to a higher consciousness. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, right to your host of Barrington Awaken, Barrington.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Barrington Awaken. Sorry about the delay. Had a little bit of technical difficulties, which happens from time to time. I guess in this modern world, modern technology, occasionally we meet an obstacle that just kicks your butt until you figure it out. Obviously, we've come a long way from the tin can and the cord. Some of you are probably not even old enough to know what that means, but that was our first telephone. Anyway, thank you for being here. Thank you for joining the show. What we aim to do here is to raise you to a higher level of consciousness, to wake you up and let you realize that you are on the top shelf. All the things that you hope to accomplish in life, the ability, the skills, and everything that is necessary is within you. It's a matter of waking up and finding it. Not looking out there for something to come towards you, but to look from within to reveal the talent and technique that we all have within ourselves. I've said many times, though others have challenged it, that we're all the same, built the same way. We've come from the same source by the same method. We were delivered here in a spiritual being. We occupy a space we call a body, and we live there throughout our life. It's a short term in comparison to the length of time that our planet has been here. Your existence in this life, this tour of duty, this journey is almost representing a single breath in and out. Coincidentally, we are just that. We're just the breath. We occupy a space in the body. We use the body as our vehicle. And when it's time for us to exit, or the body has gotten too old, or used up, banged up, retired, diseased, any of the above, sick, we lay it down, return it to the earth. We get a new, fresh start back into a life that we call rejuvenation. Returning, reincarnation, doing life over again like the conveyor belt. Our time is limited, our time is restricted. However, our ability to acquire knowledge is limitless. Everything that's always has always been a part of our existence, it's there for you to know. Nature has done an immaculate job of giving us all the wisdom, or the ability to attain all the wisdom that exists from the beginning of time until now, there and then on. Your body has a recorder. Everything that you've experienced from day one until day last was recorded through proper technique and method. You could recall that memory and you could relive it. Was it a taste? Was it a smell? Was it a feel? Was it something you've heard? Was it that article you read 30 years ago in a newspaper? It is still being recorded by you. It is there with you. Fortunately for a lot of us, we don't want to remember some of the things of the past, but you have to know that if you truly try hard enough, you will attain everything, experience, remember everything that you have been a part of. This talks about how amazing we are as people, the miracle that we are, the abundance that we can create, the knowledge that we could get, the wisdom that is available to all of us. We are just the gods that exist. I've been asked on this program before, if we are supposed to be gods, how come we don't have any special talent? Well, we do. A lot of us don't use it. And I've heard many times that a lot of people don't use their common sense because common sense is not very common. Well, it is. And we all have it, regardless of what you may think about that friend or that neighbor or that enemy of yours. We all do have or possess, born with what they call common sense. Some choose not to use it. It doesn't negate the fact that you still have it. Wake up to that reality. Wake up to understand that when you were put together, created by you, you were well thought of. Everything lined up, and all the history of the world, the universe, is with you. Everything that we've been a part of never changes. The earth itself hasn't changed for us human beings. We come here as a spirit. We acquire a body, and this body becomes our vehicle. I've said that all already. The unfortunate thing behind all of this is that we learn to do evil things and vicious things and bad things or envious. We learn how to be afraid. We learn how to be greedy. We learn we need power. We learn that we're not worthy, or we are more worthy than others. These are the unfortunate things that you've learned with the body. As equally as you've learned to not like or to hate another, equally, you knew how to love, like, respect one another, because you, at that level, when you were untouched, knew that you are a part of the great wave. We've all come from the same place. Wake up and understand, whatever it is that you hope to accomplish in life, the skills are within you. The ability is within you. No matter where you stand today, no matter what you're doing, the grind, the control, the power to do this is within you. The situation that you might be a part of, you have the ability to fix, change, or turn it around if that is your desire. You were sent here, you came here fully equipped with everything that is required to take care of you. We just don't know how to tap into that awesomeness of repairing, fixing, achieving, climbing, whatever we want. You're the potter. And all the things that you desire becomes the clay. You have the ability to fashion anything you want with those creative hands or thoughts. You are limitless. We need for you to wake up to that reality and understand that we may spend a lot of our time viewing what's behind us in a tiny little rearview mirror and miss out the beautiful big thing that's in front of us, the front view mirror, the windshield. And we're not going to do well by trying to hold on to what's behind us and miss the opportunity to embrace what's coming to us, of all the potential things that we can embrace. Look forward, look up, aim high, because you have that ability. If somebody had told you differently, please do not listen to them. If you on your own is thinking this of yourself, please tie yourself to a spiritual walk, spiritual journey, spiritual guidance, and recognize the power that you have. Wake up to that reality. I say on the show all the time, welcome home. And this is an introduction for everybody to realize that when you are home, all things are possible. You just need to believe. When you acknowledge the fact that you've got the power, you're holding on to the handle, let the society deal with the blade, you have to come to that realization to understand that. Wake up. Wake up. Raise yourself to the higher level of consciousness. Do not allow anyone to tell you other that you're not a full specimen of greatness. They may have been saying it for a very long time, and you've brought yourself to a point where you realize you've believed it, you've convinced yourself, and you tell yourself that is the truth. No, that is not the truth. If you don't know how to reverse those steps because it's been with you for such a long time and you've carried that bucket of self-pity or insecurity with you for a very long time, maybe the majority or possibly all of your life, and you don't know how to make that step to turn around, stop, relax for a little bit, learn how to connect yourself to the spiritual existence of life that surrounds you. That's always with you, that ask and answer will answer the question when you ask and if you seek help. Learn how to meditate and open up the jar of negativity that may resides within you and allow all that is good to flow in or to blend into all that there is for you to find your source. Wake up. Your source is there knocking on your door, asking you to be let in. We hear it, we call it the gut feelings. Many times you've heard, don't do it, don't do it, don't say it, or say it, and we ignore it. Well, that is what we call the observer. Your observer is a part of you, and we're gonna get into that a little bit. The observer is almost your bodyguard that's there to keep you out of crap, keep you out of danger, keep you on your path. The observer generally don't get involved until it is necessary. They will act when it is absolutely necessary. If you're going on a path that isn't designed to be your direction that you should be going, the observer will tell you. You probably won't hear it or even listen. But if you were trying to starve yourself to death in the presence of food, your observer will say, hey, get up and go eat that food or go look for some. Because it will take its cue from when you've become incoherent or just gone crazy and say, all right, you're not doing it well. I'll take it from here and bring you back to a conscious level. So to sit there in the presence of food and try to starve yourself, it won't work. Or water and try not to drink it, it won't work. Your observer is on its duty. They don't take a day off. They don't play favoritism. And their job is to protect you. Wake up to that reality. Welcome, everybody. I know I've been going on for a little bit about this one. I feel great about it. We're going to talk about, welcome to the show, first of all, my old-time listeners, long-time listeners, people who are sending emails back and forth, appreciating the show, ask questions. I try my best to answer the questions I get. If I find it relevant for the show in some cases, I do mention it. But I do want to say a very special thanks for those people who want to participate. Thank you very much for being there. Without you there, I couldn't be here. We opened the door of opportunity to show you the path that you could take to accomplish greatness, which is already you. I look at you, I see perfection. If you're not seeing that, you've probably, your eyes are not open. And at some point we could talk about opening the third eye, but we're gonna go with that a little later from now, the third eye that resides in the middle of the forehead that is supposed to show you how to see the other dimension or how to see things that is not as prevalent as the billboard that sits at the side of the road. Welcome to the Barrington Awakened Show. I appreciate your time, your effort. If you're enjoying this show, it will be repeated on Thursdays at 10 o'clock, same place, just a different time, exact same show. I want to welcome all my old-time listeners, my long-time listeners, people from all around the world. Thank you for being a part of the Barrington Show. Everybody, welcome. Welcome home. Home is where you belong. This and what you're hearing is all the wonderful things that exist at home. Be here. Thank you very much for all of that. It was a long opening today, and I just wanted to get into it. It's been a great day for a good show. It's a little cold. We're in the middle of November. It's going fast. Of course, where we live here in Southern Ontario, from here on in, it'll be thick coats and maybe snowshoes for walking through the snow. Not snowshoes. We're not that far north. But thank you very much. I want to tell you right off the jump, your personality is your fuel to success. Your personality is your fuel to success. Everyone who's going to give you a road to success or an easy path to your riches or to fame, they're telling you how they did it. Because you're not that person. You don't know that person's purpose. You don't know that person's path or that person's direction or even their intention. You cannot use the same application that somebody has presented to you to be as successful as that person because you are different. Your personality is different. A lot of it is coming from your society, where you've been raised, what you believed, what sort of discipline or non-discipline you might have been a part of. Your personality emerges as to who you are, and it was there from day one. Your personality is the fuel to success, and this is where you will succeed regardless of what the goals are, regardless of what your intentions are. Where is it that you want to reach? I need to say this again. Your personality is the fuel to your success. Your success is based on the sacrifices that you have made to accomplish what you call the success. Personality and desire is the winning formula for you to reach the goals, whatever your goals are. To truly know your personality, you must know who you are. To know who you are, you must first know thyself. To know the personality, to know who you are, you got to know who. You must know thyself. To know who you are, you must connect on the spiritual side. You must wake up. Once you've done that, you're well on your way of achieving everything that you desire in life. Most people you meet, they have the desire to succeed. Most people. Some don't. But most, I think, most people want to succeed. And we don't know what that the end of the deal is for them. We don't know what pinnacle, what point they're trying to reach. But we generally think a lot of people want to be successful. And it's not necessarily about the money or the amount of money you have or the style of clothes you wear or even the neighborhood you look on. It could be just your preference as to where you want to be and how you feel about yourself. We all have that. But they're lacking the know-how to get to where they want to go. They're lacking the know-how to get to the point. They're at point A, and they don't know how to take it down to point Z, if that's where you want to go, point Z. They see somebody down there, and they wave at them up there, down there, over there, wherever, and says, hey, how do I get there? And they're telling you how to cross this water. And they say, yeah, well, go left and go right and avoid the middle and do this, and you will get over here. Not true. The currents are changing forever. I think it was a wise man that says you don't have the ability to step in the same river twice because it's forever changing, including its time. Someone will try to navigate you across a path or tell you about it. Have you ever asked anyone for directions? And they like go down there and turn left at the tree and go right. And after the blue barn, you go through the hill and there's a fork in the road with a chicken. Go ahead. That's where. No, You're scrambled. So somebody's navigating for you and telling you how to get to a certain point. They might be accurate, they might be right, but is it for you? When somebody is asked, telling you how to achieve success, that was their method that they used. We all have a different approach. We all have a different style. We all have different things. I could show you how I do my dance. I don't know if you could do it the same as I can. And are you smiling just as much in the midst of it? You're probably 10 times better at it. The facts are, I'm only going to be able to tell you what I know. And this was my method. This is how I got through the water. This is how I made that company. This is how I raised these three children. This is how I, you know, throw the two-point hoop shot and miss, but that's how I did it. It might not be for you. Your desire for success or your desire to get to that pinnacle is probably a lot greater than mine, or definitely, definitely different than mine. What is the secret to it all? Find your own path. You have one. Everybody has one. You showed up with your own map. Everybody has their own. And one is going to say, take the airplane across the way and dive under the bridge and come up on the other side. The other is going to say, hey, swing on the vine. Something might even say, jump on the skateboard. But we all have our own destination to reach that, our own determination to reach that specific destination, wherever it may be. Many roads will lead to the same place. Like I've said many times, all the rivers do flow down towards the ocean. Down. I've never seen one going up yet, unless there's a storm. But anyway, many different ways, many different styles. Amount, volume, I mean. Many, many different. Which one is it for you? And don't you think you need to know how to find it? I don't know your path. I would have no way of knowing your path. Even if you figured out you had it right, you've mapped it out, and you've got it tangible to show it to me, I probably wouldn't even understand it. And, you know, why would you want to bring the 2 gallons of brick with you? Like, I won't understand it because it belongs to you, which brings me to the point of having somebody sit you down in a room and tell you how to get there. The first question I would ask is, where exactly is there? And that answer would be, well, where I'm at. Well, what if I'm supposed to go the other way? Find your path. Let's take a minute and go through what we've got on some emails and answer them for you.
All right. Folks, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Barrington Awaken with, of course, your host, Barrington. You could write to us right now. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Let's see here. Angie wrote in and said, Barrington, we hate because what we see sometimes in people. As you say, they get a choice, but they turn out to be real. And she goes on to say a something. Look at the way they treat other people. Look at the lifestyles of their lives. And that is why we learn to hate. That's from Angie. Thank you, Angie. We do have common sense is something we're blessed with or we achieve when we're here. However, if we are our own God, how come we can't cure other people, or how come we can't fly, or how come we can't click our fingers and make someone do better? So I'm not sure about all that. That's from Dawn. Hannah says, let's see here. Hannah says, I kind of disagree with you when you say we should not really let other people tell us what to do or live. We need to find ourselves. What about if someone is in college or university and they're learning to be a doctor and the particular professors and teachers tell them this is what you need to do, this is what you need to learn to be a successful heart surgeon, etc.? So other people telling us what to do sometimes is for the better. That's from Hannah. And let's see here. Luke says, we are not all a specimen of greatness. There are a lot of low-life scumbags out there, and it is a product of their environment and growing up, but why do they choose that way? Go to a lot of places in cities, and you'll know what I'm talking about. The way they act, the way they dress, the disrespectful for people, that's not a specimen of greatness. That's a scumbag. And that's from Luke. Wow, heavy hitting today, folks. Back to you, Barrington.
Luke, I'm going to jump on that one first off. And I would ask you, when you do, and I have visited a lot of cities in many countries, and I do see people that are quite different from us. However, I never know what that person's path may be. In a nutshell, we're probably learning from that cesspool, as you call it, or scumbags, as how just to be ourselves and be better at ourselves, not to do that. At the worst case, they're telling you because it sounds like you want nothing to do with it. Well, where's that lesson coming from? People come to teach and they have very, very different methods of teaching. And if somebody's going to tell me not to jump off the cliff or not to drink until I fall into the gutter or not to walk around in my clothes being urinated in and dirty and all this stuff, I'm going to listen and they could tell me all those things without saying a single word just by the action that they present. So we don't know why people choose to live. Sometimes it's oppression, sometimes it's environment. Is it conditioned? Did we choose this? Probably not. However, we have to be mindful to know and understand the rules of yin and yang exist in everything. There is got to be a balance. Luke, you can appreciate your life a lot more when you see those, what did you say, low-life scumbags, and you're not them, and you may want to go there one day and thank them by buying them a beer and say, thank you for teaching me not to do that. That person is also being taught and a lesson is being learned. We don't know what their purpose is supposed to be. I tend to believe through many years of study and philosophy that we all take a turn at bat in every single direction. So one day you might be the Mother Teresa, and the next life you could be the prostitute. I'm not sure how the game works, but I do know that deep within we're all the same. That scumbag has taught you, and I'm only using those words because I heard them on the email, I read them, and simply has taught me what not to do. If I had a father that had abandoned me, he has definitely taught me what not to do. If I had an uncle that was womanized and running around the place and having a whole bunch of children and not taking good care of them, he has definitely taught me what not to do. How is that lesson to be received? If he stood in front of a blackboard and wore a beacon or a hat and taught me the difference between pi r square and how many decimal places exist after the pi, well, that's a great lesson. But is the lesson not most learned by the actions of the people as opposed to the words they use? Follow the action. Actions teach way more volume than words ever will. I would say, let's find the scumbags and buy them a beer if they drink. Anna, what do you do? What do you do? You find yourself. And finding yourself is difficult to do. I hope I'm getting this right. Okay, so on the path of success, you mentioned, you know, you're in front of a professor and the professor of the doctor, the whoever is teaching you how to become a good doctor. Awesome. He didn't bring you there. You're there. You're being instructed by him. That's quite the difference. He's not telling you what to do. He's telling you how to do. The what was decided many years ago when you choose to enroll into that program, the what was done. Yes. I don't know anything about flying an airplane, but if I wanted to, I will ask the man who knows how to do it before I jump in the seat and try to do it on my own. Just common sense. These things are all coming together. It is just common sense because I have no knowledge of how to do it. So in school, I wanted to be a lawyer. Yes, I'm going to have to go in front of something and have them give me the strategy, the words, the steps, and do the practice to become or be invited to write the bar. The same thing with being any profession whatsoever. When I wanted to become the master's, I had to study very, very, very long and study and learn and remember how to become. But I had to get the information from those who were in the field, and they were the professional of the field, so they could guide me in. They didn't tell me to do that. I was on the path, and they lit a light to show me the steps to take. This is quite different than somebody telling you how to live your life their way. You made a conscious decision to make an enrollment into this program to become that, whatever that may be. It's quite different than having somebody, not even relatives or family, saying, I think you would be an awesome librarian based on your personality. And it's only perception from where I'm looking at it, but you could be Amelia Earhart, or that's her name, and be anything you want to be. When they tell you what to be, it's quite different than they're guiding you in the path in which you have chosen to take. Yeah, it's very important to listen to the professor in the classroom. You'll never graduate if you don't, but you did show up there on your own. Common sense. And this is responding to what Don said. The common sense, yes, everybody has it. We showed up with it. And it's called the survival instincts, because you need this just to live in many things. If the water current is very high, common sense will tell you not to jump in. Or if there's a shark in there, common sense will also tell you not to jump in and become its lunch or dinner. Common sense is quite prevalent. Everybody has it. Now, why can't we fly? Because human beings don't fly. Like the oak tree in your backyard isn't really doing a break dance right now, because it's an oak tree and it is designed for that. Well, we can't fly because that's not what we do. We could create a machine with our creativity, or a bag or a balloon, or jump off a cliff and fly for that couple of minutes or seconds. We do have the ability to mimic what it takes to do that, but we're not. Human beings don't have wings. And if we did, we would fly. Not to say that everything has wings will fly. Because, you know, or anything that had four legs will walk, you know, a dead dog doesn't go very far from walking. But we don't fly, because we're human beings. We are still the greatest existence on this planet. We do have the ability to be great and be awesome. Flying is not one of them. Though we watch Superman and Spider-Man and all those people do it all the time, but we're not built for that. We're not built for that. And if we were, then we'd be something else. We'd have wings or the ability to fly, but we're not designed that way. That's why we can't fly. And I hope you're not trying to do that. We don't fly. And common sense is quite prevalent. It's a part of your existence. You have to figure out how to do it. They say as the baby occurs on this planet for the first time, if you lay him down, he'll find the food that's available to him. Given enough time, he'll figure out how to wiggle whoever they do to get to the food that's there for them. Who's telling them this story? Who's telling them who drew the map? I want to step back a little bit about talking about hating. Angie wrote, why do we hate? Well, we're taught. Hate is something that was taught to you. You didn't show up hating. You don't show up with the emotion to disrespect or not to be fan of, or, you know, anything with anybody. Hate was taught to you. And it could have been somebody did something horrible and you didn't forgive them and you turn around hating them. This is why we hate. It's a learned behavior. It's a learned behavior, and a lot of it comes from maybe envy, because, you know, I have always said, if you have two people in society and you, two children, let's say, and you discipline one and give the other one the utmost freedom to do whatever he wants or she wants to do, you take it out on this one, no matter what happened, a simple flinch, you're all over that child A, and then child B could do no wrong. You just let him be as he wants to be. Hate will come from that. Is it towards the favorite child? Is it towards the parent who's making the obvious decisions? Or is it towards the child when he realizes he could do anything he wants to do and get to the point where he realizes he's not benefiting from that? Will he hate the person who gave the directions for him to follow? It's learned behavior. And equally, you can learn not to do it. And learning not to do it starts with learning to love you. And the more you love you, the less you'll feel the need to hate other people. Understand and respect you will, but hate is a learned behavior. Ooh, that was what Angie wanted, and I answered. I hope I answered the question to the best of the abilities. If I didn't, please, if you have another request, come back with it. I don't usually go on thinking that one human being is better or worse than the other human beings. I don't know that the trees in the forest have said, my fruits are better than yours, or my tree roots are nicer looking than yours, or the leaves on my tree is more leafy than yours. And I don't know if any of that happens, because in all retrospect, it's not relevant. It doesn't even serve a purpose. We are here to live and to experience all of life. And the better we do it with tolerance towards each other, the best we will have, the better we will have, the better of a society we will have. In a conversation just today, I was reminded that the world needs balance. And yes, you are going to have the wrongdoers and you're going to have the do-gooders, and they will have to live in the world, because yin and yang exist in every single thing we do. So the delicate balance that we see every day in life, and we may see people that we want to step out of our zone and call them bad names. But is that the truth? And we don't fully know, and you will never know that man a person until you've walked in their shoes. And you have to walk in their shoes. You can't assume everybody was born on the west side of this field is going to be subjected to bad. You have to realize it's the circumstance. Maybe these people that we're trying to disrespect or trying not to understand, they're facing political injustice, poverty, and probably oppression. And Gandhi would gangbang if given those predicaments. So would Mother Teresa. I think they'd make a good Bonnie and Clyde. But the point being is that if you're in this predicament, you will act accordingly. We human beings tend to become product of our environment. It is what it is. We soak it up like we would a sponge. Wake up. If we've come here the same way, by the same method, what is it that tells you that your piece of the pie was better, sweeter, smoother, fluffier? I don't know. I don't know much about pies. But you've come the same way. You walk into the forest and you chop a tree down and go put it up. If you celebrate Christmas, you can't. The only difference, what you will say in about that particular tree, is probably a better fit. It's more fuller. It's nice and rounder, if that's a real word. But that tree is just a tree. If you want to be able to relate to what I'm saying, you have a piece of gold. And you take that piece of gold and you melt it down. And assumingly, it was a ring. So you melt it down to liquid. With that same liquid, you could turn it around and make a chain out of it. And if you're sick of that chain, eventually you could turn it around and put it in your tooth for filling, or melt it down again and put it on your tooth as a cap, if that's your thing, or make earrings out of it, make an anklet out of it, make a bullet out of it, make something pretty and put it on your dresser out of it. The common denominator among all this melting down and reformulating and shaping is still gold. It's just have different shape to it. I don't know, because I'm not into that field, if the integrity of it is going to be lost because you've burned it so many times, or is it still going to remain the pure gold that it was to begin with? And ask yourself this question: is a ring better than a toe ring? Is a ring better than a cap on your tooth? Is a ring better than a piece of decorative item on your desk? It's all the same, isn't it? Just serving different purposes. So I think before we start looking at that ring and said, God, that's an ugly thing, we just have to realize it is the same. It has the very same common denominator, and has come from the same place, and we probably got to it by the same method. How are we thinking it's different? We're talking today about your personality, and what we talk about is your observer that exists with you. I tapped on earlier saying that your observer is the one that's going to keep you out of getting yourself in trouble. If you try to jump off the cliff, your observer is going to tell you, not a good idea. If you're trying to starve yourself for food, the observer is going to tell you, not a good idea. Or even you go in the water and duck your head underneath the water and think you could stay there until you drown yourself, it won't happen. Not a good idea. Your observer is like your bodyguard. It comes here to protect you, keep you safe. And it doesn't say much. It just sits back and watch and wait for you to act up, like when you're in the park and you're playing and you're having a good time. And all of a sudden, your parent might see you climb up on the highest part of this apparatus and we're about to jump. And they'll act and say, no, 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 you're not doing that. You know, in our cases, get your A down. But anyway, the point being, they will sit there and just watch you be who you are, what you do, what you want to do. And many times they will say, don't do it. Don't do that. Don't follow this. How many times have it told your gut feelings have told you, don't get involved with that person. Walk away from this person. Don't take that job. Keep your job. And you just did not listen. And shortly after that, you realize that you should have, because the decision that you made without consulting the people, the team, the bodyguard is not the most favorable one for you. This is why we say, get in to understanding your spiritual side. Get in to understanding who you are and to know thyself and allow you to live as free and as happy as you can possibly be. Your personality is the fuel to your success. You apply this and you will be successful. Can you be a Michael Jackson imitator and be successful? Well, at the best day of your life, you're a successful imitator, and it has nothing to do with who you are. You're pretending to be somebody else. To know thyself is what we encourage, and for you to raise yourself to the higher level of consciousness, to get the gift that belongs to you, or to understand the tools that you have within yourself for you to be successful. But first, you must apply your personality. Have we got anything else on our...
Yes, we do. Let's see. Victor wants to know, you mentioned the third eye situation, if you're going to bring that up today, because he says, I don't really know what that is. That's from Victor. Connie says she loves the show. She is from New York City. This is only the second time I listened, and I'm enjoying it thoroughly. That's from Connie. And Paul says, hey, Barrington, big fan of yours. However, I don't agree with the oppression argument that you stated just a few minutes ago. Anytime people are in trouble, they always make an excuse about oppression, my religion, my status, my race, etc. That's BS in today's society in North America. Everybody has the same rights here, so nobody is oppressed in these countries. I think he means like Canada and the U.S. Nobody is oppressed in these countries due to their religion, their status, how much money they have, or their race. So I don't agree with the oppression argument. It's the person that makes them good or bad. That's from Paul. Back to you.
Paul, yes, and you're absolutely right about that. Not knowing or saying that anybody in this country faces oppression or any of the above. What I was talking about is where you see people in a situation, and I didn't specifically say where, I'm just saying their exposure to life could possibly be political injustice, poverty, and or possibly oppression. You went through, you explained everything, you didn't mention once about the poverty or poverty. You banged, I forgot the third one, you banged on the oppression. Well, we don't truly understand what oppression is from the sides that we're not familiar with. I have no idea. I've heard a lot of stories about the female oppression and the bigotry and the this and the that. I can only hear the story, understand it. I'm not able to relate to it and follow through to it. Political injustice, poverty, and oppression. That's the other one I was thinking about. So we don't know their predicament, but I'm saying that if you're in that predicament, you have a greater chance of having a harder road to travel. I'm not saying anybody is oppressed. That's not what our show is about. We're talking about the total opposite of being an uplifted, new-spirited person, and be kind and be the best person you could possibly be. How dare me say somebody was oppressed? I would have to know them really well. The show is not about trying to oppress anybody, and I'm sorry if you misunderstood. That was not where we were swinging that bat. Connie, New York City, thank you very much. I appreciate you being a part of the show. I'm glad you're loving it. We go far, we go deep, we go wide, and this is what we're trying to do. We're raising you to a higher level of consciousness and for you just to be alert, be awake, and be a happy self in life. And this is our wish for everybody all the time, to wake up to their reality. Victor, third eye. Okay, so the third eye, they say, and a lot of it comes from the Hindu background, they talk about it sits at the side of your forehead. Some people think it's just above the top of your head, but I tend to believe through what we know, what I studied, what I've learned, that it's actually the forehead that makes the third eye. And it's not a visible eye like you could see the other two on the right and the left of your face and somebody could poke you in it. The third eye is just a sense of awareness, and you're able to see and feel and sense things that is connected in the universe. That it's not, you're not going to have to get these triangular shaped glasses so you can view life. No, the third eye is something that will never open in the sense of a physical opening like your two eyes, but the third eye is just more or less an awakening, an awareness, a knowing of the existence of other. You're more easily connected to a spiritual existence. It's called a third eye because when it opens, we go through a stage where people call realize or realization or just to be alert or woke. I'm hearing the new words people are using. Your third eye is fully active and you can see things that are not physically in front of you because the third eye is not a physical eye. It's more of a spiritual awakening, spiritual sense. That is what the third eye is. Will I talk about it? It's a topic all in itself. And how do you get there? How do you open it? What's the advantage? What's the disadvantage, if there is one? The benefit of it. The third eye is, I think people who do have their third eye open, it's more or less the ones that are more into their spiritual life, their spiritual way, people who does a lot of spiritual work. The third eye is a spiritual thing that guides you to all the avenues of life. It's like driving down the road as you are right now in the middle of the night, and you know the road very well because you've done it 100 times. But if you turn on the headlights, all of a sudden things become clear. Just for the sake of this conversation, we could say we're just turning on that headlight so you could see things a little bit more clear. It's not a physical thing. You will not have to go out and get a triangular shape eyeglass or contact lens by a third contact. No, it doesn't work that way. The third eye is a spiritual awakening, and you waken yourself up to a higher level of consciousness. There are many, many, many different levels of consciousness, and that's what we're aware of now. If you achieve opening your third eye, you will, like I said, you turn on the headlights to your destination, to your journey. You can navigate more clearly. You could see objects coming to bash you in the head more effectively. And third eye is more a spiritual awakening than it is a physical thing. So we're on the show today. We're doing what we're doing. We're having a good time. I think I did thank everybody for being a part of the show, and I answered everyone. Victor's, I did respond to your thing. And Connie from New York City, again, thank you for being a part of our show. Listen, and I do hope you appreciate it. As you can tell, we open our doors, and if you disagree with it, please let us know. The benefit will not be just for me, because I will air it and people will hear. Most times it's often a clarification that we're seeking or a path that we may disagree with. Well, this has to happen. We have to have a path of resistance because there exists a path of least resistance. Therefore, we will have people who will disagree, and that's okay. Every time I am wrong about something, I'm a little bit more educated take that to your reality. We want to know that you can tell me you disagree. I will see it my way until you can convince me otherwise. You're listening to Barrington. Barrington Awaken. There's a book called Awaken Ascension Guide. It aligns you to your true purpose. It's a great Christmas gift. It's out there. Send it out to people who you know who are seeking a spiritual path, people who wants to understand what it's like to be woken up, open up, third eye, just a path that guides you to how do you achieve or how do you accomplish, how you get into spiritual existence. I do understand that my task here, we're going to go, we got a few minutes to 4 o'clock and we're going to take it. We started late. We had a little problem. So our show will continue till about 5 minutes after four. Are we okay with that?
Yeah, absolutely, Barrington. Absolutely.
Yeah, so just letting you know, we've got a few minutes left, about six or so. We're going to talk about what we need to get you on a path of understanding, of knowing how to live your best self. That's the intent. We're not trying to gain anything from it. We have a responsibility that if I saw somebody going down towards a speeding train, I'd probably say, hey, don't do that. And it's just a responsibility that we have the ability to see these things coming and send out a warning. If that person flips me the bird and says, mind your own business, I may say it again, but I don't know if I'd say it the third time simply because you have made your request to save or to divert. We don't know that person's intention, their direction, what they're hoping to accomplish. Okay? That's what I wanted to say. So I started talking about the book. It's amazing for you. It's a good Christmas gift. You could pick it up at Amazon.com. It is there. Also, Barrington, H-E-A-M-I, Barrington Awaken is our website. There's been a little bit of action there going on there. Every show that we've done is listed there. If you wanted to hear them again, listen to them again. Today's show will be called The Observer. So when you get there, if you wanted to hear this, you could pick it or all the other shows that we've done for 2.5 years or, yeah, going on this. Yeah, they're there, and you could pick your favorite one or listen to it or share it with others if there was something in it that moved you and you feel at some point others could benefit from it. It is our duty to pass on what we know as truth. We intend to wake people up so they could come to a reality of living their best self. The Observer, as we were talking about, will never leave you. The Observer showed up with you and is going to be with you until the day you leave. And their purpose is to guide you through life and to keep you out of trouble. It's like the bodyguard that exists with you. I have said many times, you are never alone. So if you're feeling lonely, you're not doing well. You are never alone. Creativity is with you. The ability to be successful is with you. Your desire to accomplish, to reach goals, to set yourself out there to do anything you want to do or to accomplish, that tool is within you. We ask you to wake up. I have said today, if you're having a difficult time waking up, you have to allow the old, you have to empty out your cup. Your cup of whatever is filled in it is full, and you need to add new things in it. You may want to empty out some of the things that were given to you or placed in your cup, or you may have put there on your own. But in order to venture out into this new lifestyle, you have to empty out the cup to start again. If you're out in the fields all day plowing and digging and doing all these things, you're going to come home dirty because that happens. And if you're going out tonight to go party in the town, you will have to go through a process of rejuvenating, clean up yourself, put on different clothes probably, and then go out for the next adventure. If you have all that dirt on you and you throw the cup, the new clothes on top of all that dirt, it doesn't change anything. The appearance of it may be changed, but the conditions remains the same. We have to go through removing items from our cup that's not applicable or even truth. in doing that, we have to learn how to empty out what we've put there. We have to learn how to tap into the new source. One of the things that you could do to eliminate, and I know this is a very, very popular question, how do you determine the truth from the non-truth or the BS or the made up? Well, here's how that works. If you were to tap into your source of your meditation, understand your spirituality, get into it and follow it, eventually the BS or the not the truth parts will disappear. They cannot coexist. You cannot live two things that you know one is not right, the other one's right, and you try to do both. It's one or the other. You're going to love or you're going to hate. I don't know that you're going to be successful of trying to do both at the same time. If you were to study and follow your spirituality, the BS, even the negative and the evil ways of you or mankind will eventually go away. How do I break yourself out of that bad habit? Maybe it's by create. It is not maybe, it is by creating a new one. Whatever state that you're in, situation, you have the ability to fix it. Your path is your path, and no man is going to tell you which path is best for you, regardless of what school he teaches at. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining the show today. I know I'm going to be getting some emails this week. Sometimes I get people responding to or sending in the emails and they didn't like what I was had to say on the show. I suppose we're creating a balance like yin and yang would suggest. Until we talk next week, thank you for being a part of the show internationally. Enjoy your week. Until next time, namaste.
Thank you for listening to Barrington Awaken with your host, Barrington, right here on Reality Radio 101.